In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, Harry, I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it, may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, today we will continue with our reading of the Book of Heaven. Excuse me, with the letters, Luisa's letters.
Letter number 130. My good and reverend mother, thank you. Thank you for remembering me. In exchange, I will pray the divine volition to take you in its arms, that it may descend in all your acts, even in the breath, in the heartbeat, in the steps, and form in them its complete kingdom. In such a way, you will feel its love, sanctity, and divine power palpitate in you. My most dear mother, this is exactly what the divine will can do. Give itself completely in order to want forming its life in the creature. Only then it makes feast when it has completed it, and it calls heaven to celebrate its new life, which will do good to all, bring new joys to all, suffrage to the purging souls, and help to all the living. It will be the new sun which denies its light and heat to no one. My mother, I recommend to you, let us always do the divine will. It will put to flight all passions. It will clothe us with the royal garments of light. We will be the terror of demons and will give God the new joys which the divine will can give. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. Let's see what Luisa Picaretta is saying here concerning the divine will. The divine will, who wants to palpitate in all of us, the divine will has, we can say, the power. Well, it has the power to bilocate everywhere, but it wants to bilocate in the acts of the creatures. So every single baptized soul now becomes basically a field for the divine will to be able to operate. The sacrament of baptism is the door that opens. It opens the way for God himself to be able to operate in the creature. So we can say that every soul that is created is a potential field for the will of God to operate in it. And that once we are baptized, then that field belongs to the Blessed Trinity. We become the indwelling place of the Blessed Trinity, God dwelling in us, basically reverting what happened in the fall, that we lost that gift. So that gift is being restored, is being reversed. What happened right in the fall now is being reversed in baptism. And without the sacrament of baptism, the creature cannot enter, I mean, God cannot enter in the creature and operate. It's very simple. We still belong to God, even those who are not baptized, they belong to God. But just imagine that you have a beautiful house, just a brand new house, and it belongs to you, but you cannot go in it and dwell in it. The doors are closed, and you don't have the keys to enter. Yes, it's beautiful inside. It's all nice and everything. It belongs to you. You hold the title of it. You are the owner, but you cannot enter. So you cannot take possession of that house. So it's the same with the soul. Every soul belongs to God. But then it is in baptism that God basically takes possession over that soul, and then we become the indwelling place of the Blessed Trinity, and then the divine will can operate in every single step that we take, in every single act. So we become the field in which God, the divine will operates in us. That's why the sacrament is so important, and those seeds that are planted in the sacrament, we already know the theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity, that they have to grow in us. And along with faith, hope, and charity, other things also grow in the soul. Basically, that represent the weeds that we heard in the gospel this Sunday. So, what are the weeds? Everything that the human will produces. Because without this union, the union of the human will with the divine will, or the will of God operating in the soul, we are only able to produce imperfect things. So we can say that the human will represents all the weeds that have to be uprooted. And the way we take those is by surrendering our human will to the will of God, but asking the divine will to come and dwell in us, and basically by retaking whatever we have lost as we grow older, and we lose that gift that is being restored in us in baptism, we have to retake it now. And what we lost by age now, we have to retake it by learning it again. That's why it's important to read the Book of Heaven, and every single truth that comes from the Book of Heaven, especially about the kingdom of the divine will, which is the same as what the Lord announces in the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is the same as the kingdom of the divine will. At that moment, the Lord was not able to say the kingdom of the divine will, but he meant the same thing. We now know that he meant the kingdom of the divine will, but people were not prepared to receive that message yet. So, but he alluded to the kingdom of the divine will, because the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of the divine will, is the same thing. So every new truth that we encounter through the Book of Heaven is a new seed that is implanted in us, and then every truth that comes from the Book of Heaven is a new beauty, new love, new joy, new sanctity that God, our Father, our Creator, wants to give to all of us through the simple acts of the creature, that he wants to give himself. This is very beautiful, that he wants to give himself completely. The divine will wants to give itself completely. And that's why even in the catechism, we are called to give ourselves, to give back ourselves to God completely. And the way we give ourselves back to God in a complete way is basically to surrender in our will and to let the divine will just operate, so that the divine will repeat in our humanity what it was doing in the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what our Lord expresses. I just want to share a little passage from the Book of Heaven, it's volume 38, 36, volume 36, June 30th, 1938. This is what our Lord Jesus says: "My coming on the earth has been nothing other than the outpouring of my love, repressed for many centuries. It was for this love, reaching excess, that I formed the new creation, even overcoming it. In the variety of my words and the intensity of my love. But my love is still repressed. And to bend it, I want to give my will as life, to give creatures the greatest good I can give." See, because at the beginning, this is what we receive. God can only give the greatest to the creature, and the greatest is He Himself. And to receive the great glory of having the children of my will in our kingdom. As the creature enters our will, our joy is such that she gives us the field on which to repeat in her all we have done in the creation and redemption. Our love wants to see in action, as if they were being created, heaven stretching out, the sun resplendent of light, the winds blowing continuously, waves of grace and love, seas murmuring love, glory, adoration to their creator. In action, my will repeats the descent of the word, and my will is the repeater of all that my humanity did in the creature. So we remain always in the act of operating in her. So our Lord wants to repeat his life, but now in our humanity. Because he doesn't possess his humanity anymore. Now he has a glorified body. So when Luisa Picaretta tells this sister, this nun, about the divine will, that the divine will wants to give itself completely to all of us. This is for all of us. And why those who possess this gift basically become the terror of demons and will give God new joys, or they will give God the opportunity to release this repressed love that our Lord Jesus is talking about. There is a passage, I don't have that passage right now, but there is a passage in which Luisa Picaretta sees that the Blessed Trinity is all light. And under the Blessed Trinity, she sees like a ring through which everything funnels, all the graces, all the gifts, and everything it funnels through that ring. And then she says that basically that is the Blessed Mother, the first channel that is there that is able to receive everything, because she possesses the capacity to receive all the excess, all the repressed love that the Blessed Trinity is not able to give to the creatures. Why? Because otherwise we will just disappear. We will be destroyed with so much joy and glory and beauty. But the Blessed Mother has acquired that capacity to receive so much love. So she becomes the vessel through which the Blessed Trinity is able to funnel all that love that is repressed. And a little by little, the Blessed Mother is giving that to us also, to those that consecrate themselves to the Blessed Mother, yes, and those who, everybody in the church, in the state of grace, basically. But the Blessed Mother will be able to give that, the Blessed Trinity through the Blessed Mother will be able to give that also to the children of the divine will, as our Lord Jesus is telling us here, that he wants to have the children of the divine will in the kingdom. So, what God wants to give to all of us is again himself, and himself is all that he is. Love, beauty, justice, mercy, power, everything that he is, all the attributes that he possesses that we don't even know all of them. We will spend all eternity just learning about God. But in order for us to spend that eternity knowing and enjoying God, we have to spend our time here on earth learning about him, because that will give us the capacity to possess. We have to unite ourselves, and we have to just take advantage of every single opportunity. Every single act, small, has to be united with the will of God, because one way we will see all the good that these simple acts can do to our soul and will have done to our soul, and how much these little acts can also give to God and to others that we don't see now. The Lord says we never stop, because nothing can possibly be missing in the one living in our will. Our very acts will be our throne, our court, and the very life of the creatures. Our love for her seems almost unbelievable. We are all eyes over her to see whether she's enclosing all, and how many times, because we love her too much, we keep repeating our operating act, placing new beauty and new sanctity over the masterpiece we have done for her. We like to give to her always, keeping her busy under the reign of our operating act, to give her the occasion to receive more love and to love us more. Therefore, live always in our will, and you will feel in it the continuous outputting of love, our operating act, which not only will repeat our works in action, but will also add new things to astonish heaven and earth. So this is something that we have to keep in mind always, that whatever we do here will be magnified on the other side. So let's continue with our next letter.
Letter number 131 to Frederico Abresh. Most esteemed son, I hope you will feel better because you still have much to do to make the divine will known. It will be the bearer of true peace, of true sanctity, and will give back to us the rights which we have lost by doing our own will. Not only this, but the Lord will have the great glory of forming the divine generation in all our acts. How happy we will be thinking that in every little act of ours, even in the breath, in the motion, in the steps, We will form as many Jesuses, as many divine lives, for as many acts as we do. Oh, how Jesus longs for this, reaching the point of counting the minutes, the breaths, to form his life in the acts of the creature and say, "The creature loves me with my own love. She adores me. She prays to me with my own prayers." In this way, we will populate the sun, the earth, the sea with many divine lives. Then will our lives live hidden in God, and we will do what the Lord wants and does. Therefore, let us pray in order to obtain such a great good. I send you the greeting of the fiat, that it may keep you enclosed in the divine will. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. I think we talk about the meaning of divine lives in the past, that basically every single act that we do in union with the divine will, the will of God operating in every single act, it becomes, we can say, a divine act, because if the will of God is present in there, then we have the divinity in that act. So in the same way that in the Eucharist we have the body, blood, soul, and divinity in every host, we have the divine life. We can say that host is divine because it possesses body, blood, soul, and divinity, the real presence of our Lord. So if we break that host in thousand pieces, thousand particles, in every single particle, then we have the divine, I mean, the real presence. So we can say we have thousand times the body, blood, soul, and divinity. The divine life is being now replicated, or is being, it is in those thousand pieces, or as many as hosts have been consecrated. So when the Lord talks about the divine lives, it is that every single act, now he's there, present in every single act, but also in us. So it is kind of like in a general way that in every single soul that he operates, he's there, but also in the part in a particular way, in every single act, he's present also there, and becomes every act that comes from the will, the human will, united with the divine will, now becomes divine, because by virtue of the union, not because of the creature, because we don't have the power to do anything that is divine, but by surrendering our will to the divine will, everything now is transformed into divine. So we can say, basically, in this sense, we can say it is a divine act that the creature is producing. Again, not because of the creature has the nature, but it is by participation now. In our Lord Jesus, yes, everything was because by virtue of his divine nature operating in union with his divine will, that the church calls the hypostatic union. That's the theological term that the church uses, the hypostatic union between the human and the divine in the person of our Lord Jesus. But in us, it becomes by participation, by willingly uniting our will with the Lord, and with the knowledge of what happens now, we know that everything now is being basically elevated to the perfect, to the eternal, giving us the opportunity to really be just before God. Because then, in this way, we give God what belongs to Him So to him belongs perfect glory, perfect honor, perfect adoration, perfect correspondence. So without this gift in us, even though we do good things, so we become pious and all of this, we will always be imperfect and we will never be just before God without this gift, because there will be always lacking that aspect, that divine aspect that God himself put in the person of Adam and Eve as he created them, so they were able to correspond to him at the same level. But now, through the restoration of this gift, now we are able to go back and to give to God what we were supposed to give to him since the beginning, and what was lost through the sin of Adam and Eve. Now we have recovered this through the new Adam, which in reality is the first Adam, because Adam was created in the image of Christ. So in that sense, Christ is the first Adam, but the church we call the church calls our Lord the second Adam, in the sense that now he has restored what we lost, and now we are able to be just before God by corresponding him in the way he needs to correspond, to be corresponded from us creatures. So in this way, no act is wasted also. Now we the creatures, we are able to love God with his own love, as Luisa Picarreta is telling us here, talking basically on behalf of our Lord Jesus, that our Lord Jesus wants the creature to love him with his own love, and we are called to love the Blessed Trinity, and in particular each person of the Blessed Trinity, also in particular to correspond each person of the Blessed Trinity in particular, and also in general, in a perfect way. And this is the way we do it, because the gift has been now revealed to us. We have the knowledge, we have the teachings of the church that leads us through this, and now we have to make it known. This is another thing that we have to do, since the divine will is the bearer of all truths, because it's the will of God. And then this is what constitutes true peace for the soul, true sanctity for us. Why true sanctity? Because it's the first sanctity, is the sanctity of all sanctities. This is what God designed since the beginning for all of us creatures. And this is the gift that now our Lord has bestowed upon us through the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta. And now our mission, what is our mission now? Well, we have come to know this gift. We have been blessed to be able to encounter these writings. And also we have been blessed to be able to accept those and to have the peace and the humility also to accept them, because many people, they, even though they have heard about these writings, they don't believe about them, even though we know that there is nothing against the church, and we know that all the way from the first to the 19th volume has been approved, that the Hours of the Passion have been approved, and the writings of the Blessed Mother in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. And we know that the Vatican is analyzing these writings, and till now they have not found anything that is contrary to the faith, to the tradition of the church. When we say the tradition, it's important to make the To make the distinction between tradition and customs. When we talk about tradition, it's about all the teachings of our Lord Jesus, that not everything that our Lord Jesus did and passed on to the apostles was written. And at the beginning, what they did, when we say tradition, that by oral also, and they follow what they receive. And that's why till today, the church cannot change anything. We call that deposit of faith. We don't have, the church doesn't have the power to change the teachings of our Lord. We are called to preserve them. And when the church analyzes the writings of Luisa Picaretta and tells us that there is nothing against those teachings, then, and that the cause of Luisa Picaretta continues, so we are free to continue studying and finding light through this writings, so that through these writings we may come to understand the perfect revelation of God, which is our Lord Jesus. So through these writings, in a specific way, we learn what the divine will was doing in the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we encounter also through these writings, and we understand what and how the first man was operating and was called to live with this gift, and how he lost it. And now, how blessed we are that we have given this gift, and also we have given the grace to be able to accept them. Because again, many people, and this includes even clergy, that they know about these writings, but they don't accept them. So that in itself for us is a grace. So we must be thankful to the Holy Spirit and continue to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, because this is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is now the work of the Holy Spirit to help us understand these writings, to help us understand these divine truths, and to try to live this way of living and to make it known to others in whatever way we can. Not to push it, but just to make it known, because at the end, everybody has the gift of the human will that God will never take away, but He will always respect. The next passage that I wanted to share is this, is from the same passage, but this is what he says. My daughter, everybody lives in my will. If they did not, they just wouldn't find a space in which to live. So we all live in His will, but not everybody possesses the will operating. Just remember that image of the house, where every single soul is that house that is being created, is being constructed, is being built. But if we don't possess the gift of the divine will operating in us, then we don't possess that divine life in us. So here is not so much this. We have to understand that everybody who adheres to the Ten Commandments is already doing God's will. And the will of God is being written in the Ten Commandments. But one thing is to do the will of God, to live in the will of God, and to possess the will of God operating in us. So here, this way of living is about possessing the divine will operating in us. But who feels our divine life? Who feels surrounded by sanctity? Who feels the joy of being touched by our creative hands and to embellish from our very beauty? Who feels drawn inside our love? And the answer is the one who wants to live in our will, not one who is there by necessity of creation, merely because our immensity, which involves everything and everywhere, These creatures are there without knowing us, right? So, by virtue of being created, as Saint Paul says, in God we live and move and have our being. We exist because He wished it, He willed it for us to exist. But not everybody possesses that will operating in us. So we are called to be those souls that through the knowledge of the divine will, through the, we can say through the doctrine or through the divine science of the divine will, we come to instruct ourselves, basically to catechize ourselves. This is the teaching of the church, catechizing meaning to be instructed. So we catechize ourselves in the science of living in the divine will. And then we pass it on to others. We try to catechize them in the science of living in the divine will, that the center of this science or this way of living is to give glory to God, basically, primarily accomplishing the first line of the Our Father, Sanctificetur Nomen Tuum in Latin. May your name be sanctified in everything I do. May your name be sanctified through every single act that I do, from the simple step that I take. So this way of living is not about doing greater, huge things. It's about finding the kingdom of the divine will operating in us in the smallest thing. That's why it says the kingdom of the divine will is compared. When the Lord says the kingdom of heaven is the same thing now as the kingdom of the divine will. It's the same. Now, when the Lord compares this kingdom to the master seed, is one single act. Is the smallest of our acts can produce so much. It can be magnified so much that it will arrive to give perfect glory, perfect honor, perfect adoration. So this is not about doing greater things, but it's about doing the ordinary things now with the constant awareness that we want to glorify God, the first line of the Our Father. Then that with those simple acts, we are calling the divine will to descend. And we know that these acts will hasten the kingdom to come. So the more acts we do, we immerse ourselves. We are hastening the coming of the divine will. We can even offer the acts of the Blessed Mother to hasten now the kingdom to descend. First of all, to glorify God, to hasten the kingdom. And we know that the effect of this act, of course, it will benefit everybody according to their own dispositions, and basically, finally, for our own salvation. So we see the priority now, the order of things that is not, first of all, for the creatures. The first priority is the fulfillment of the Our Fathers. So first of all, hallowed be your name, Sanctificetur Nomen Tuum. May you be glorified, because this is what Adam was doing at the beginning. He was glorifying God. And in exchange, second, since he already possessed the gift in him, he was growing in that knowledge and understanding of who God is. Basically, he was growing in the likeness. He was becoming more like God at every moment, in the sense that he was possessing, because God was giving himself all this love that is being repressed, that our Lord Jesus is talking about in the passage that I read tonight. That was not repressed at the beginning. It was constantly flowing, 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 because they were through channels, two vessels that they were able to contain a little by little, constantly. And the Blessed Mother has become now that channel that constantly is full of grace. That's why the salutation of the angel, it has so much meaning now through the writings of Lisa Picaretta. Yes. At every moment, she was overflowing with grace, because she was, or she is, the channel through which God continues to give and to give and to give. And that's why it's so perfect also, the title that is being said in the church, the mediatrix of all graces. Through her, all graces flow because she just has the capacity to receive this. And we are called to do the same, to be one of those many that will come after Christ. So another Jesus. This is in the spiritual sense, this is what it means to be another Jesus, that we may operate as he was operated in his humanity, giving glory to God through every single act he was doing, and then all of that for the coming of the kingdom, and then for the good of all the human race, and finally for our own salvation. So let's try to move on with the next letter tonight.
Letter number 132 to Federico Abresh. Most esteemed son in the divine volition, I answer to your dear letter. To hear that you speak of the divine will and that you want to know more about it is a great joy for me. Knowing how content Jesus is to find a soul who wants to live of divine will. This creature is his triumph and his victory. And even if in the past he was wounded by this creature, he looks at these wounds, smiles, and says, I have conquered her. She is my victory. And he shows her around to all of heaven to make feast. And as fulfillment of his victory, he centralizes all his goods in her, the goods of creation and of redemption, and gives her the right over everything. And then, wanting to know what good means wanting to possess it is like the appetite for food. I am sorry for Padre Pio if he makes a dark face. We do not speak of what the church has prohibited, but of what the church herself does not yet know. And the day will come when the church will know and appreciate with triumph and victory. Nor can there be true peace or any true triumph if the divine will is not known. Our Lord will make the greatest miracles to make his will reign upon earth. Therefore, let us pray that the time will be shortened and that everything will be changed into will of God. I commend myself to your prayers. Kiss the hands of Padre Pio for me, and leaving you all in the sea of the divine will, that you may all live from its sanctity, love, and light, to be able to embrace everything and everyone, and to do good to all. With the love of its fiat, I send my regards to all. The little daughter of the divine will, Corrado, November 27th, 1944. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. What a great consolation we hear here that our Lord Jesus, even if we have wounded him in the past, once we come to encounter this science, this way of living, and we enthrone this way of living in our daily life, in our daily acts, then those wounds, those offenses, they turn into smiles for our Lord, and that he sees that soul now as he has conquered that soul. And of course, one day there will be the day that the church will come to accept what she doesn't understand yet. But a little by little, the Lord is moving everything towards that direction, because we have to always remember that what the Lord has promised. And even in sacred scripture, we find this promise that the Lord says through the prophets that his word will not return empty. It will accomplish the purpose for which the Lord has, I mean, for the word has been sent. This passage, this term that Luisa Picaretta uses, centralizes. To centralize is to put everything, we can say all the life of our Lord Jesus in there, in that soul. We find that definition in volume 23, November 10, 1927. Whenever our Lord uses a new term, he gives the definition, and we find that definition of centralization, to centralize, meaning that he can put in the soul all his life, and he's able to repeat in that soul all his life. Not only that, but he can continue the work of creation in that soul, because now the Lord creational side is done, but he wants to continue creating in the soul more light, more beauty, more love, to displace more of his attributes. Now, not in creation, because in creation we see so many attributes of God, yes. But creation, in a way, is set, is complete. But in the soul, he wants to continue that creation, to bring new joy, new peace, new happiness, as the Lord, again, he mentioned in the passage that I read tonight, also from volume 36, that repressed love that he has, and he wants to channel and to set out so that all the creatures may be filled with this light and this heat and this love that transforms and gives new life and gives new joys and gives new, reveals all the secrets, basically, that a sacred scripture says are hidden from the foundation of the world. They are hidden to us because there is no room for us to really contain them. But the more we encounter this divine knowledge, then the more our capacity expands. The Lord says knowledge is the first joint link between them and us, meaning the creatures. Between us and God. It is wanting to live in our will that takes away the bars and opens the doors. So it is wanting to live in the divine will that removes all the impediments for the creature to be able to live in this way, and for God to be able to enter into that house, which is the soul, and to operate in that field, which is the soul, and to continue sowing seeds. For us, basically, we have to be like that person who finds the treasure that is being buried in the field, and to leave everything behind to possess that treasure, because this is the treasure that the Lord is talking about in the parables, that this is the treasure that is being hidden, that we have to find, and now is being revealed to all of us through the writings of Luisa Picaretta. And this treasure is inexhaustible. It just continues to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow, and the value is infinite. So we must take all those bars and all those things that impede the divine will to operate in us. so that we may enter into the arms of God. It says, it is love in us that makes us pour rivers of our love and grace to the point of covering them with our divine qualities. See? What are the divine qualities? Maybe this is something that you can do for your own research and as a way to do more research on your own. What are the qualities of God? What are the divine qualities? What are the attributes of God? The Lord says, without the knowledge, we cannot give anything, neither can they receive. So that's why knowledge of this divine science is so important. And this is what we are doing again in these sessions, that we are trying to go through the letters specifically of Lisa Picaretta and finding her teaching, the way she teaches the divine will, and trying just to each one of us move forward deeper and deeper into this way of living. Each one of us, that we are in different basically stages, we can say, because some of you have been studying this gift for a very long time, some others, yes, not for so long, but the science is there, the knowledge is there, the path is there, how to advance in the divine will, in this knowledge. So knowledge is important. We cannot give anything, neither can they receive. One who lives in our will instead knows us as she enters in it. She gives her keys to her daddy. She hugs us and surrounds us with her little love. So we give her our seeds of love. And she exchanges her kisses with all heaven. We can say that the celebrations are open between us, between heaven and earth. Our souls call her blessed, and we tell her, you are the most happy and fortunate creature because you live in our love, covered by our arms, under the reign of our graces. So, since the divine will is the source of all graces, from which everything springs forth and from which everything exists, that's why once the soul learns to live in this way, then is truly blessed. And the beautiful thing here is that one day we shall be able to see this, even if it's not from here, we shall be able to see the glory that the Church of Christ will receive through these acts. And this is since God wants to give himself, he wants to give the best to his bride, the Church. And the best is him himself, the divine bridegroom, and to cover his bride, the church, with the greatest glory, which is with the glory of the children of the divine will. And one day we shall be able to see, even if it's not from this side, that will be a glorious day that God will triumph. The will of God will triumph in reversing everything that the enemy has done, continues to do, and is seeking to do, but at the end we know that it will not prevail. So this should be also a great source of consolation for all of us that one day the church will come to accept this, and what the church now does not understand, one day will come to understand, to possess, and to proclaim from the head. This is the promise that the Lord gives, that one day, even the Pope, with his paternal voice, he will issue these teachings as the vicar of Christ, Christ himself again. proclaiming the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of the divine will is here, is now, is in us, it's operating, is right here. So we shall be joyful and we shall be peaceful also, finding ourselves in the midst of this kingdom and being the recipients, the vessels, the place where this kingdom is growing in, and knowing that just by being united in the divine will, we are hastening the kingdom to come to this end. There are revelations in which our Lord reveals that the prayers of the Blessed Mother, and even in the Book of Heaven, in the writings of the Blessed Mother in the Kingdom of the Divine Will, we see that her prayers finally were the final magnets that make the kingdom of redemption descend. Her prayers make the Messiah descend, the promised Messiah descend. So now also these little acts that we do, united with the knowledge of the teachings of the divine will hasten the coming of the kingdom, and it will be for the glory of God, the glory of the church, which is the bride of Christ, and for the sanctification of all the human race. So we should be encouraged in continuing to learned about this gift, to practice it, and just continue to read also on your own and at your own pace, but be always persistent and persevere. Even if it's 5 to 10 minutes every day, try to read about the book, a passage from the Book of Heaven, from the Blessed Mother, the Hours of the Passion. Just continue to fill yourselves and to basically catechize yourselves, to fill your souls with these divine truths, divine seeds that the Lord promises they will bear much, much fruit, and it will benefit all of us so much. So let us finish here tonight, and let us ask our Lord that through the intercession of the Blessed Mother, through the intercession of, we can say, the first saint, the first apostle, because this is how our Lord calls Father Annibal de Francia, the first apostle of the divine will, through the intercession of him and Luisa Picarreta, we may receive the grace to persevere in the way of living in the divine will, and one day we may possess this gift operating in our souls here on earth. Because the kingdom of the divine will is in us already. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May the blessing of the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you, and remain with you forever. Amen.